Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
Take your Bible, turn to the book of James. We're going to be in James chapter 1. Started a couple weeks ago talking about a faith that works. Faith that works. Pastor James has got a lot of really good stuff to tell us. So just a quick review. We picked up in our first time together in James. We picked up this idea, joy. Going through troubles and trials, he said to count it all joy, right? Put it all in the joy column already. Put it on God's credit. He's good for it. He will make it good. So go ahead and count it all joy. And you have need of patience, he also said. Going through all these troubles and trials, you have need to just act. You know what? We would interpret that patience as chill out. To just chill out. Just calm down, right? Just calm down. Of course, you know, nobody's ever calmed down in the history of calm down by being told to calm down. Nobody's ever calmed down. Anybody? That's true. Wisdom. It said if you lack wisdom going through the trouble, what are we supposed to do? We're to ask God for wisdom, right? So we kind of covered that coming through there. So now blessed is the man who endures temptation. We talked about that last week. This idea of getting through temptation and not being deceived, all that kind of thing. And blessed is the one who endures, who overcomes. All right? All right, so now today we're going to wrap up chapter 1, Lord willing. And in all of these troubles and trials, we've been directed and given direct access to God. We've got direct access to His wisdom. God is so good to us. He's got every good and perfect gift He's ready to give. He stands ready to give. So God's got some good stuff for us to take in. He wants to help us, especially through the bad stuff. He's got some good stuff for us while we're going through the bad stuff. And He wants to speak to our heart, but we've got to be able to hear. We've got to have the kind of ears that hear and the kind of heart that receives and the kind of feet that walk it out. That's what James is going to get into today. And this hearing and doing is where James now directs our attention. So let's talk about this idea of hear and do. Let's pick it up in verse number 19. Let's read all the way through the end of the chapter in verse 27. You ready? All right. Pastor James says this, "So then, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Uh-oh. Verse 27. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Ah, Lord, thank you for this letter. Thank you for the revelation that's embedded in it, Lord. And I just pray that you would help your word become our bread. Nourish us, Lord. Strengthen our soul. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our hope, Lord. And help us be the kind of people that hear what you say and do what you say. Help us to do it. Help us to experience that blessing. In the name of Jesus we pray, and in the power of the Holy Spirit we ask. Amen. 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 All right. So now, this whole idea. He starts off with this threefold instruction he gives us. Let everybody be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get mad. Right? All right, so let's do this. Quick to hear. Come on, do it with me. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get mad. That's some dukes. You can put up them dukes, you know. We kind of get it backwards, don't we? As human beings. We're slow to hear, and we're quick to speak, especially in today's world. Social media has kind of taught us to and rewired our brains to just speak our impulses. Speak your mind. Well, Lord, look out now. And you know, we're quick to speak, but how many of you know a lot of people are saying stuff ain't got nothing to say? Anyway, never mind. And slow to get mad, slow to this idea of wrath. Now, the ancient teachers said this, look at how God designed you. God gave you two ears and one mouth. And my mama taught me this too. Two ears and one mouth, which means that you should at least listen twice as much as you talk. Right? You should at least. The ancient teachers also said this. Notice the design. Notice how you're designed. That our ears are always open. Always attentive. And this tongue is locked up in this dark cave behind these ivory bars. And the beast should only be let out when it needs to be let out. Mm-hmm. So this idea of the art of listening is real important. It's an important skill to develop. It's important to listen, to learn to listen to teachings and lectures. You go to school and all that kind of thing. Without learning to listen, you don't grow, right? You don't grow. And one of Jesus' favorite things to say is, he who has an ear, let him or her hear. Hear what the Spirit is saying. So listening to the Word, listening to the Spirit. So quick to hear. Slow to speak, slow to get mad. All right? And here's why. Here's the warnings. There's warnings wrapped up in there, at least two of them that I see. James is telling us how to conduct ourselves in life, especially through hard times. Hard times. These warnings are wrapped up in this wisdom, these two warnings. Number one, be careful what you say and don't speak too quickly. Listen first and think it through. You heard about foot and mouth disease, didn't you? Like old boy said, every time I open up my foot, I open up my mouth, my foot goes in it. You know, anybody ever seen anybody like that? And I talk a lot, so sometimes I talk long and I talk wrong. Sometimes this old mouth gets me in trouble. But James gives us a warning. He says, don't speak too quick. Take your time, think it through. And he warns us against anger and frustration. You're going through hard times, you just kind of, you know, our world's kind of on edge now. You kind of can feel that. The tension's building on political fronts, social fronts, all over the place, tensions in families, all those kind of things. It's building. And he warns us against anger, and he says this about anger. He says, for your anger, for the wrath of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. And I know, like, most of us would like to claim that our anger is righteous anger. But most of us not. Let's just be real. Most of us not. Most of us just our flesh out of control, and we just spouting, blowing up, and doing all kinds of stuff. Right? And he says, I want you to be warned that you getting mad will not produce the right thing. Right? So he's dealing with this because in troublesome times, in hard times, frustration builds. And it comes out our mouth. So anger will not get you to where God wants you to be. Period. Right? My friend Dallas Willard said this, whatever you think you can do with anger, you can do better without it. Whether that's running your business. You know, some people don't think they can run a business without getting mad at all the employees. Some folks don't think they can raise kids without getting mad. Well, then they'll test you now. Just, you know. And hey, it's one thing to correct them and deal with that, but living in that kind of hostility and that kind of anger, it shapes a person, doesn't it? It can go the wrong direction. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You kind of got to get that in your spirit right there now. So he warns us about that. All right. So he begins to tell us, because he knows we're having troubles with anger. We're having troubles with frustration. We're having troubles with sin and temptation. He knows all that kind of thing. We're having trouble with our patience. The joy level's not all it needs to be. We're having all these troubles. So he comes and he says, I want you to lay aside. There's some things you've got to do if you want to hear and do what God calls you to do. You got to lay some things aside. He says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. We kind of talked a little bit about that in Matthew 13 in Sunday school this morning. You got to get some things out of your life to make room for the things God wants to bring into your life. And here he says to lay aside. Pastor James gives us some wise instructions. It says, you've got some cleanup work to do. You've got some prep work to do. And I want you to lay aside some things. To lay aside. To take it off. To put it away. To get rid of it. Kind of like taking off your dirty clothes. Some things I want you to lay aside. Lay aside what? He uses the word filthiness right here. This idea of filthiness. It's the idea of moral impurities. Sin. Sinfulness. Filthy conduct. Corrupt behavior, which is becoming more and more commonplace. It's all over our media. It's all over all our TVs and phones, all the things. We carry around more filth in our pocket than you can shake a stick at. And he says, I want you to know that if you want to get to where God wants you to be, you're going to have to lay aside filthiness. You're going to have to lay aside the overflow of wickedness. Isn't it interesting he'd say it like that, the overflow of wickedness? It's kind of like something bad, something evil is in your heart, and it just finds a way just to bubble out. It overflows. And it overflows on the other people and situations. So he says this, that's the idea of evil or malice, or which malice is just the will to do harm, to bring harm to somebody's life. Harm them maybe physically or harm their reputation or whatever it might be. It's the idea of hateful feelings. It's the idea of cowardice, and that word wickedness goes into a lot of things. The idea of laziness and spite, revenge, kind of wraps into that anger idea. And James right here says it's time to clean up some things in your life. You know, and it's time to prepare yourself. You know, I've done a lot of construction type work and a lot of, especially painting and things like that. And you know what I found out? That on a paint job, if I'm painting somebody's house, by the time I'm getting to where I put in the paint, the job is almost already done. Because the most important part of a paint job is not putting on the paint. You know what the most important part of a paint job is? It's all that prep work. All that sanding, all that caulking, all that put in, all that cleaning up, all that getting all that rotten wood gone, all that cutting out those spaces, all that spackling, all that kind of stuff. You got to do all the cleanup work and all the prep work in order for the job to be right. And see, we get in there with Jesus, we just wanted to slap a little something on us. And he said, we got some things. And notice he says, you lay it aside. That means that you don't have to always be a victim to all your madness. That you can have power, and God will give you power to take those things that are leading you astray, and take those things that are not good in your spirit, not good in your heart, not good in your life, those things that you're struggling with, bad habits, all those kind of things, addictions, whatever it might be. All that filthiness, whatever it is. He said, you have the power to lay it aside. Use it. That's part of the dignity of us being human. That when you get a will to do it, God said, you can do it. And here's the good thing. You're not alone. He'll help you do it. Right? So it's not just willpower. It's I put my will, and that triggers God's power. That's what I want to trigger. That's what I need help with. So he says, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Like you would dirty clothes. That old dirty life. That old dirty mouth. That old dirty stuff you're dealing with. That dirty character. All those flaws. All that stuff. Get it out. It's a call to holy living. You don't hear much about that anymore, do you? Mm-mm. Everybody says, just come just as you are. Yes. But guess what? When you get down here, he's got a scrub brush. See, God loves you as you are, and he loves you too much to leave you like that. And it's a call to holy living. That's what James is saying. This laying aside all this filthiness and all this overflow of wickedness. It's a call to holy living. Because look at what we said. These things keep us from hearing God. They keep us from receiving what God wants to give us. All right? So you kind of like the soil, the parable of the soils. Remember that? The rocks hinder the growth. The thorns hinder the growth. Remember that in Matthew 13? And if you're not willing to deal with the bad stuff in you, then you don't get to receive the good stuff God has. That's just a fact now. We can't be deceived. We got to know that. That's for me, it's for you. Right? And God's had to deal with me and a lot of things in my own life. So it's not that God's punishing you. It's just reality. It's just the way things work. If you're not willing to lay it aside, then you can't pick up this. Right? All right. Are you with me? All right. So there's an old saying. You will either let God keep you from sin, or you'll allow sin to keep you from God. That's a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth. So lay it aside. It's you see, we've picked up a lot of bad stuff along the way. Just a lot of bad habits, a lot of bad thoughts, a lot of flaws, a lot of junk. We picked up a lot of junk. And he said, it's time to unpack and lay all that mess aside. God's got some good stuff in store. Right? You good? You tracking? All right. So cleanup work. Now, he begins to get into our attitude. Okay, the second part of verse 21 says this. Okay, you've got to lay all that aside and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So that's the second half of that verse. To receive with meekness. It begins to deal with our attitude right here. You got to have the right mindset in order to move forward in God. And attitude is important. You know that? Attitude determines a lot. Attitude has to do with your perspective, the way you view things. The old saying is this, that attitude determines altitude. Your attitude will determine how high you go. And success in business, success in life, success in family, attitude is really important. And he jumps right into our mindset right here. And he says this, I want you to have this mindset. I want you to have a receiving mindset from God. It's kind of like showing up hungry for dinner. It just tastes better, don't it? You eat better, and mama's happy. This attitude of receiving. He said, I want you to posture yourself to be in a ready position to receive something from God. I hope that's the way you approach your prayer time. I hope that's the way you approach your devotion time. I hope that's the way you approach it when you come and you listen in a setting like this. I hope you come ready to receive. I like this idea with the word receive, the word hungry. That you come hungry. And God's made a promise to everybody that's hungry. He said that if you hunger and thirst after my righteousness, if you hunger and thirst to be right with me, he said, I'll fill you up more than you can't handle. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. God likes it when you're hungry. So stay hungry. Stay hungry. In fact, God likes it so much. In Isaiah 55:10, it says this, God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So God will give you seed. That might be financial in nature. That might be truth. That might be revelation. That might be wisdom. That might be knowledge. That might be all kinds of things. God will give seed if you're willing to plant it. If you're willing to throw it out there and be a blessing to other people, God said, I'll give you more seed than you can handle. So this is the way I look at it, with that God will give seed to the sower. I've got a seed bag. Every morning I wake up, I got a seed bag. God fills it up for me. He said, your job, you want to be a sower, I'll give you seed. And you go out there and you just be an encouragement, be a blessing. Speak truth, speak love, help, serve. Boom, get it out. And see, my job is to make sure that when I go to bed at night, that seed bag is empty. That's my job. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, is what Isaiah said. God said, if you will eat it, I'll keep feeding it to you. He told Ezekiel one time, he wrote up a scroll, which is his word, and he said, eat it. Eat this scroll. Eat it. He gives bread to the eater. And how many say, I'm an eater. I'm an eater. I'm an eater. I'm going to eat it. You give me some good stuff, I'm going to eat it. You lay it right out here, I'm going to eat it. I'm hungry. I need it. You alone, Lord, can help me. You alone can speak truth to me. You alone can help me get through this mess and get through this whole season I'm in, this trouble, this temptation. I'm an eater. Feed me. It's this idea of hungry. And the second mindset, he says, receive with meekness. That's not a word we use that much. This idea of meekness, it's the idea of gentleness, being teachable, and humble. So you put these two things together. Stay hungry and stay humble. That's important for a person, isn't it? It's important. And what would be the opposite of humility? What would be the opposite of humble? Well, that's pride and arrogance, independence, all that kind of stuff that we all struggle with from time to time. So he said, I want you to have this attitude of you being humble. So we stay hungry before God. So that means if I'm going to eat the good food, I can't fill up on all the junk food. Didn't mama teach us that? She taught us that. Son, you're going to spoil your dinner. Well, that's what happens. We get filled up with all the pablum of this world and we're just not hungry. So we stay hungry. He's dealing with our mindset. We stay hungry and we stay humble. And there's nothing like what will make you hungry like a good fight. Like some trouble. That's why a lot of people get close to God when they're in trouble. They get hungry because they need something. So we stay hungry and we stay humble. All right? So what am I hungry for? What am I posturing myself in this position of humility before God? What am I hoping for? What am I wanting? Well, I'm wanting this implanted word that he talks about. That's what I'm wanting, this implanted word. Now, he's talking about the word being like a seed. That's all over the Bible, the idea of the seed that goes into our hearts. And it takes root and it produces fruit. So what God is looking for a person to look at him and say, go ahead, Lord, put it right here. Plant it on me. Give it to me. I desire your word. My soul is thirsty. My heart is hungry. I long for the bread from heaven and I want to feast on your revelation. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to take that kind of posture that he's got something. His goodness, his heart is for us to have it. And he wants to plant it in us like a seed. And he wants to put, listen to how it works. He wants to put his goodness inside of me to help me be good and do good. He's got an implanted word for you. It'll help you live right. It'll help you do right. It'll help you walk in God's favor. It'll help you walk in God's blessing. God has something from heaven that he wants to plant in your soul, and he wants to drop a word in your mind, and he wants you to say, I'm ready. I'm hungry. I need it. Are you with me? Shake your head like this. Do something. The implanted word. The implanted word. And we know a little bit of something on page one about what God does with his word and how powerful his word is, that his word is creative. That when he speaks, stuff happens. So he's got a word for you. And if you laid aside some things and made some room in your life, humbled yourself and brought yourself before God in this idea of meekness, ready to receive, God's got something he wants to drop in you, a creative word. Now, what kind of creative word? Well, the kind of word that can create in you a clean heart. The kind of word that can create in you a righteous heart. The kind of word that can create in you a wise mind. And God wants to put some courage in you to make you a courageous soul. He wants to give you that kind of steadfast spirit that you don't give up at the first sight of trouble. You don't just cower down at the first sight of temptation. He wants to make you a faith-filled, faithful human being. That's why we receive his word, because he wants to turn you into a certain kind of human. And it comes through his word. And we want to receive that implanted word. And he says, and that blessing of his word goes deep into a person, goes deep into the good soul of their life, and produces what God wants to produce. And the blessing of that is that it saves my soul. It saves me. Say, it rescues me. It heals me. It delivers me. The idea of salvation right here is the idea of being made whole. That his word helps me become a whole person. See, this world is in the process of fragmenting me and causing me to be less than human than what God wants me to be. It fragments me and it breaks my heart. And God says, I want you to come to me and receive my word, and I'll put you back together and make you whole again. The idea. So we join with Mary and we say, let it be to me according to your word. And we stand with David and we said, yes, Lord, give me your word, because your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And we shout out with Isaiah and proclaim, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And we agree with Peter about Jesus. Lord, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. It's this implanted word he's talking about now. You get the picture that he wants to plant it in you? He wants to plant it in you, because see what God does, he plants something in you today that's going to help you with your tomorrows. See, seed doesn't just pop up. Spiritual seed doesn't either. Now, God can do what he wants to. If he wants to do something instant in your life, that's great. But the way to be the Christian that God wants you to be the human being that God wants you to be, it takes time. You got to keep receiving that planted, that seed. You got to keep receiving it in your heart. Make sure your heart's right. Keep laying aside. Pull out those rocks. Pull out those thorns. Make room for it. And you faith to faith and glory to glory is what Paul says. You become what God called you to be. But it takes a little bit of time. All right. That's what I'm hungry for. So now that he gives us a word, now we take it to the next step. So God's given you a word. He says this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. All right, I got something here. Y'all been wondering what this is all about, ain't you? I said, Lord, preacher done left something on the stage. What in the world is he going to do with this? So he's likened the word to a seed. Now, right here, he compares the word to a mirror. So he says, when you come to my word, it's like looking in a mirror. That's one thing about mirrors. They don't lie. It just is what it is, ain't it? It just is what it is. And it says this, that coming to God's word is going to be, it's a little bit of a negative experience before it gets positive. Because you begin to look at yourself, and you know what you see? You see flaws. You see faults. You see bad habits. Anybody ever had this experience but me? And God begins to deal with you, and he struggles with you about it. Because he wants you to struggle with it. He don't want you to just toss up your hands and say, well, it just is what it is. He wants you to look in there, and he wants you to see the kind of person that you are. And for all of us, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. If you look in this mirror right, you'll see something wrong. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't get in the Bible. Because they haven't that negative experience. But you got to go through that negative experience to get to the good stuff now. It's important. Now he says this. He says this person, he talks about a hearer, somebody who just hears. Like somebody who may just hear a sermon, they may read something in the Bible, may hear something said or something like that, something about the scriptures. They hear it. And they come to this mirror. Jesus calls this kind of person a foolish person. They come to this mirror and they observe. Oh, Lord. That's a little too close. And some of you girls got these mirrors that magnify like 10, 20%. Lord, have mercy. It gets rough, don't it? You look in there and you see you got some dirt. You got some ketchup from the meatloaf last night. But the person who only hears, they observe, they see it, they see something wrong. They don't want to deal with it. And they just walk away. They walk away, maybe denial, maybe just not wanting to confront it, maybe overwhelmed by it. I don't know whatever the experience you might have. But they see it, they know they're not all that they need to be. And that's all of us. They know they're not all they need to be, but then they look and they look and they look away and they walk away. And then they forget. They forget what kind of person they really are. And they go back living in this Instagram world. This Photoshop world. This fake world. And they forget who they really are. Reading it in the Old King James. Anybody got the Old King James in here? I like the way it's worded. It says, he beholdeth and forgetteth. He beholdeth and forgetteth. You see the flaws, some things in your life, character that need to be worked on and worked out, but you do nothing. James says it, Jesus says it, that is a very, very foolish way to be. So now, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Okay, so now we got another kind of person. This one person just looks, sees, they heard something, they see something, don't do anything about it. Walk away. This other kind of person, they come to that same mirror. And now he calls this mirror, he gives this mirror a name. And this person sees this mirror and they don't just see the reflection of them. They look into this mirror now and he gives the mirror a name. Did you see the name of the mirror? The perfect law of liberty. Now think about that. Look at those words. The perfect law of liberty. So if you got to keep looking in the mirror now. Because see, the mirror, this is some kind of mirror now. The Word of God is a different kind of mirror. It will reflect you, but if you stay in it long enough, you'll see something else. You'll see somebody else. You'll begin to see Christ. You'll begin to see Him on every page. You'll begin to hear His Word, and you'll begin to learn some things and to begin to grow. And as we continue to look, we begin to see liberty. And liberty means that all those faults and all those failures and all those bad habits and all those chains and bondage that I've been in all my life, I begin to look and I look longer and I stay in there and I let it work on me. I begin to see liberty and I begin to see Christ in there, and His glory reflects back to me and I become more like Him. It's a miracle that happens, really. And as I look into His glory, the Scripture says I'm transformed to become more like Him. This perfect law of liberty. Huh. That's quite a mirror, isn't it? You begin to see, the first glance on the mirror tells you what you're not. The gaze into the mirror begins to tell you what you can become. You hear what I'm talking about? Begins to tell you what you can do with your life, and that there's purpose and that there's destiny and that there's a ministry and there's a plan that God has for your life, and He wants you to hear that, but He wants you to do it. And the liberty comes when you put into practice what you hear from Him. Huh. And it's the perfect law of liberty. So you get the direction from hearing, and the blessing really comes when you act on it. And it's amazing, as you look and gaze into God's Word, you see past you and you see Him. And a miracle transpires in your heart. It's gradual. Well, depending on what you need, sometimes it's big hunks. And line upon line, precept upon precept, day by day, I become transformed. But if you walk away too quick, you're going to miss out on this miracle. All right? Wonder what God could do with your life. All right, let's wrap it up with this. Lord, it's almost 12 o'clock. We're doing good. Verse 26. Now He gives us some things to do. Okay? Not just be a hearer only, but doer. He's just kind of building this whole thing. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, or she's religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Oh, Lord, he done gone to meddling now, ain't he? He's all up in your grill now. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So to wrap up chapter 1 right here, James gives us three things to do. Because his idea is he's wanting you to be a doer now. He's not wanting you to just be a pew sitter. He's not wanting you to be some kind of sermon junkie. And you're just taking all this stuff in and you're just learning. Because eventually, you know what? What good is it to go to baseball practice if you're not going to play in the game? Isn't that the truth? See, church, this is not the game. This is not the game. This is prep. This practice. The game's out there. This is like the barn. the barn. That's where we keep the equipment. That's where we fix things. That's where we talk about strategy. That's where we get teaching. We learn about our product and our supplies and all our tools and all that kinds of stuff. This is the barn. We don't plow in here. We plow out there. That's out there in the field. Does that make sense to you? But I know Christians, they won't do everything in the barn. That's why we don't have big harvests. The harvest is out there. Thank God for the barn. We can't work without the barn now. We need the barn. But the barn's getting us ready. See, let's say it like this. Sunday's getting you ready for Monday. Because if your Jesus can't make it to Monday, that ain't the right Jesus. And he says this, three things you got to do. Put these things into practice, every one of us. Bridle your tongue. Everybody know what a bridle is? We got some horse people in here. Y'all know what a bridle is? Uh-huh. Bridle your tongue. Don't say it. What did he already tell us? Quick to what? Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Put a bridle on it. Tame that thing. He's going to get a little bit later. He's going to talk really big about the tongue in James. That's going to be some fun stuff. You're not going to miss that now. Bridle your tongue. Watch what you say. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful how you speak to people. Put a bridle on your tongue. Tame that joker, because it is wild. And it's out of control. More on that later. So everybody's got to bridle their tongue. Because otherwise, your religion is useless. You ever met somebody? And I know we're not supposed to judge people, but things kind of, you can see fruit. And you're like, well, Christians shouldn't really talk like that. You know what I'm talking about? I know we all have bad days and all that kind of stuff. Some things, you know, we say. But really? He said, your tongue can make your faith absolutely useless. But we'll get on that later. Doesn't he say anything else about that? Second thing he wants us to do is care for widows and orphans. People in real difficult situations. Real and truly, in the early church, that's why they set up the office of deacon. Take care of that kind of stuff. Really serve people, help people. Maybe help them in the idea of encouragement. I mean, it's a difficult thing. I mean, you're already really behind if you don't have a father and mother. This world's going to eat you alive if somebody doesn't help you. It's true. Widowhood. Some of y'all have been through that. That's a real dark valley. And it means a whole lot when somebody comes alongside you and helps walk that valley. Can't nobody bring you out of it. You just got to walk through it. And he says, care for these people. These people are in these difficult situations. That's something you can do. Something we all can do. And the third thing he says, keep yourself clean. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. You can do that. Now that's going to take a lot of effort right there now. You got it? All right, so backtrack just a little bit. All right? What we've covered today, it's a lot. We covered a lot of ground. I really need to preach 5 sermons on these things. But anyway, quick. Stay with me. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. All right? Lay it aside. What is it you need to lay aside? Everybody's got something that threatens the very fabric of who you say you are in Christ. Everybody's got something on that. They got to put down. Thought, temptation, or lust, wrong desire, habit, problem. Everybody's got something that's going to haunt them, come chasing you. Lay it aside. Receive. What we say, stay hungry and stay humble. Receive the implanted word. Hear what that word says to you. Don't leave it right there. That's a dangerous place. It is a dangerous place for you to come in this house and sit in the sermon after sermon and hear teaching after teaching. It's very dangerous for you and to walk out of here and be the same old joker. That's dangerous. And I pray it gets so hot in here, you can't do that. You know what I'm talking about? Nor would you want to. We hear. We put it into practice. We bridle our tongue, take care of widows and orphans, and we keep clean. Come on, let's ask God to help us. Ah, Lord, help us. This is a lot. But Lord, it really is kind of a pattern, a sequence that you establish in our life. So Holy Spirit, do what you do. Talk to us. Help us. I know you're working on us. You're speaking to us.